Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And that's heard Thursdays, usually, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard, and 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today is December, I believe it's December the 16th, right? And 7 p.m. right now. We'd like to, as always, welcome you to the show and invite you to give us a call if you choose to do so at 347-945-7040. And we will do our best to entertain your call, and we'll address whatever topics that you choose to discuss. We don't have a guest scheduled this evening, but if you give us a call, you'll be the guest. Anyway, we always like to start off by offering a disclaimer. And our disclaimer is simply this: any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. The description of the show simply is this: this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their ability to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, we hope. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, especially such as STEM and incarceration estimates for the minority members of our society, we encourage you. Reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include. We encourage you to join us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. You can give us a call again at 347-945-7040, or you can drop us a line at blakicz.1@gmail.com, blackice@gmail.com. And any information that you hear on the show, let me also add this caveat: we highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics they find interesting. Also, one of the guests that I've had on the show, and I really want to give her a shout out, I don't see her as much as I used to, is Sister Rabia Ahmed, the organizer of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining the social and financial footing that they may have lost. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk, and I want to thank her for her sharing on the show the times that she's been able to get through to us and with us. And you can find her at this address on the Internet, www.smart2change.org. That's www.smart2change.org. Sister Rabia Ahmed. Give her a call. Take a look at a program on the Internet if you choose to, and we highly recommend that you do because she's doing a great service, and especially during this time of the year when there are those who are possibly a lot less fortunate than we are. If we can be of any assistance, I would sincerely encourage us to find it in our hearts to participate in some of these benevolent programs. And, reaching out, because these are some really dire times, and we're in a dire straits at this particular time, especially with, like, a lot of cold weather up that way. And a lot of families aren't doing as well as some of the other families in the national scene are doing. And if we have anything to share, especially during this time of the year, please feel free to do so. And one of the people that one of the organizations that we recommend you share with is www.smarttochange.org. smart2change.org. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to some of the different hosts on Blog Talk Radio that I've had an opportunity to meet and listen to on occasion. Sister India DeClaire, I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, the India DeClaire Show. That's heard daily at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And you can come to Blog Talk Radio, type in the search bar, India DeClaire, I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, India DeClaire, and it'll give you the information where you can find her. She has a beautiful show, comes on daily at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Also, Sister Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, Navazor. She's heard Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can, as I say, come to Blog Talk Radio and type her name in the search block, and it'll give you all the pertinent information for her. Also, a shout-out to Sister Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground. Heard Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And Miss Quiet Storm, that's M-S-Q-U-I-E-T-S-T-O-R-M, all one word. Put her in the search block, and you'll find her right here at Blog Talk Radio, Miss Quiet Storm, M-S-Q-U-I-E-T-S-T-O-R-M. She's heard Saturdays 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, and 11 a.m. Central Standard, as well as 12 noon Eastern Standard. You can give her a call at 646-595-4523. That's Miss Quiet Storm right here on blogtalkradio.com. Dr. Reba, I think she still has her show on Blog Talk Radio as well, Dr. Dr. Reba Israel. That's R-E-B-A-Y-I-S. R-A-E-L, Dr. Reba Israel, and you can hear her at Blog Talk Radio. And my brother, Mr. Alfo, A-L-F-O, has a real good stimulating show. Pretty much, well, I can't say. I would say that I listen to him for the political content of his show, and he addresses some real pertinent issues. Alfo, A-L-F-O, that's, you come to Blog Talk Radio, type it in the search bar, and you'll find it. Also, he comes on at 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time on Saturdays, at 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time on the Truth Network also. And Brother Jay Early, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y, he is also a host on Blog Talk Radio. There are a lot of hosts here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm just one of the lesser-known ones. And just a big shout-out to all these guys. They do a real good job on Blog Talk Radio. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is to share with you some information today. And this is regarding our sister, Aretha Franklin. I don't know if you'd heard about it, but Sister Aretha Franklin had had some medical difficulties. And she had been hospitalized and canceled a lot of her concert tours over the last several weeks. But here's a big headline I found on the Luke 21. Aretha Franklin released from hospital following surgery. Queen of Soul is spending the holidays at home in Detroit after being discharged. And that's on the Luke 21 posted today at 11:19 a.m. It says, earlier this week, Aretha Franklin was discharged from Detroit Hospital after undergoing surgery that her doctors deemed highly successful. The Queen of Soul is in great spirits and very happy to be home, where she will be resting in anticipation of spending the upcoming holiday season with her family. And this is from a U.S. magazine report. I've been at home for most of 3 days now, Franklin said. My family and friends who brought me home are taking great care of her, of me. I also have a private nurse who visits on a daily basis. I'm hoping to be strong enough to go out and see the upcoming Sam Cooke play at the Music Hall in downtown Detroit before January the 2nd, as well as a performance of Dreamgirls at the Fox before it closes. And that's some good news about our dear sister Aretha Franklin. I'm sure glad to hear that she's out and doing a little bit, quite considerably better than she had been. And I'll be right back with a look at more information right after this quick, brief intermission. Mm-hmm.
wanna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and what meant so.
make that change. 347-945-7040 right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends, and we welcome you to give us a call or stop in through the chat site if you get a chance to. We'd be more than happy to see you there. And you know, one of the next topics that I wanted to address was has to do with health. And again, as always, I recommend that you consult with a professional in regard to any topics that you hear on this show. We don't claim to be professionals. All we do is provide you with some information. Hopefully that is a catalyst or it stimulates you to do some thinking and perhaps, you know, check it out for yourself and make sure. But we try to provide you with some little bit of stimulation on this show. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, especially during this period of time, a lot of stress. And also want to wish you happy holidays. I want to wish you and your family a safe and a joyous and a blessed holiday season and beyond. And we all know hopefully what the reason for the season is. Personally, I have my professed faith is Christianity, but I know that there are a lot of people who have a lot of different faiths. And it just so happens that that's what my faith is. And based on that position, then Christ was born. This is an important period of in regard to a symbolic in regard to my faith, where the our Savior was born during this period of time, or at least symbolized the birth during this period of time. And so we encourage you, regardless to what your professed faith is, we wish you all the best in Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, whatever Ramadan, whatever your faith is, we wish you the best for you and your family, and I hope that that the holiday season brings you pure delight, pleasure, enjoyment, and family gatherings and blessings. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to talk about during this period of time when it's fairly stressful is the potential for heart attack. And, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. And, you know, there's going to be some eating, maybe some exertion due to inclement weather or some excitement or, you know, and the older we get, I'm speaking for myself, reaching that older stage of my life. You know, some of the things that we could look out for, I think one of the topic that I found here is 10 heart attack symptoms you're most likely to ignore. And this is by Melanie Hiking. Melanie Hiking, caring.com. This was submitted Monday, November the 1st, 2010. And what it says is that heart attacks don't always strike out of the blue. There are many symptoms that we can watch for in the days and weeks leading up to heart attacks, to a heart attack. But the symptoms may not be the ones we expect, and they can be different in men and women, and different still in older adults. Last year, for example, a landmark study in the National Institutes of Health, published in Circulation, that's a journal of the American Heart Institute, found that about 90% of women who'd had heart attacks reported experiencing symptoms in the weeks and months before the attack. But the symptoms weren't the expected chest pains, so they went unrecognized. So how do you tell if someone is having a heart attack? These are just a few potential symptoms and some things that may have you to be aware of. We may have you to be aware of. Don't let that happen to you. Here are 10 symptoms you're likely to ignore and shouldn't. Number one, indigestion or nausea. One of the most oft overlooked signs of a heart attack is nausea and stomach pain. Symptoms can range from mild indigestion to severe nausea, cramping, and vomiting. Others experience a cramping style ache in the upper belly. Women and adults over 60 are more likely to experience this symptom and not recognize it as tied to cardiac health. Most cases of stomach ache and nausea aren't caused by a heart attack, of course, but watch out for this sign by becoming familiar with your own digestive habits. pay attention when anything seems out of the ordinary, particularly if it comes on suddenly and you haven't been exposed to stomach flu and haven't eaten anything out of the ordinary. Number two is jaw, ear, neck, or shoulder pain. A sharp pain and numbness in the chest, shoulder, and arm is an indicator of a heart attack, but many people don't experience heart attack pain this way at all. Instead, they may feel pain in the neck or shoulder area, or may feel like it's running along the jaw and up to up by the ear. Some women specifically report feeling the pain between their shoulder blades. A telltale sign: the pain comes and goes rather than persisting unrelieved as a pull muscle would. This can make the pain both easy to overlook and difficult to pinpoint. You may notice pain in your neck one day, none the next. Then after that, it might have moved to your ear and jaw. If you notice pain and pain that seems to move or radiate upward and out, this is important to bring to your doctor's attention. Number three. Now, this is strange. Sexual dysfunction. Having trouble achieving or keeping erections is common in men with a coronary artery disease, but they may not make the connection. Just as arteries around the heart can narrow and harden, so can those that supply the penis. And because these arteries are smaller, they may show damage sooner. One survey of European men being treated for cardiovascular disease found that 2 out of 3 had suffered from erectile dysfunction before they were ever diagnosed with heart trouble. Number four, exhaustion or fatigue. A sense of crushing fatigue that lasts for several days is another sign of heart trouble. That's all too often overlooked or explained away. Women in particular often look back after a heart attack and mention this symptom. More than 70% of women in the last year's NIH study, for example, reported extreme fatigue in the weeks prior, weeks or months prior to their heart attack. The key here is that the fatigue is unusually strong. Not the kind of tiredness you can power through, but the kind that lays you flat out in bed. If you're normally a fairly energetic person and suddenly feel sidelined by fatigue, they recommend a call to your doctor is in order. Breathlessness and dizziness, that's number five. When your heart isn't getting enough blood, it also isn't getting enough oxygen. And when there's not enough oxygen circulating in your blood, the result is feeling unable to draw a deep, satisfying breath, the same feeling you get when you're at high elevation. Additional symptoms can be lightheadedness and dizziness, but sadly, people don't attribute the symptoms to heart disease because they associate breathing with lungs, not the heart. In last year's NIH study, more than 40% of women heart attack victims remembered experiencing this symptom, a common description of the feeling I couldn't catch my breath while walking up the driveway. Number six is leg swelling or pain. When the heart muscle isn't functioning properly, waste products aren't carried away from tissues by the blood, and the result can be edema or swelling caused by fluid retention. Edema usually starts at the feet, ankles, and legs because they're farthest from the heart, where circulation is poorer. In addition, when tissues don't get enough blood, it can lead to a painful condition called ischemia, bring swelling and pain to the attention of your doctor. Sleepiness, insomnia, anxiety. This is an odd one doctors can't yet explain. Those who've had heart attacks often remember experiencing a sudden, unexplained inability to fall asleep or stay asleep during the months or weeks before their heart attack. Note, if you're already experiencing insomnia regularly, this symptom can be hard to distinguish. Patients often report the feeling as one of being keyed up and wound tight. They remember lying in bed and with racing thoughts and sometimes a racing heart. In the NIH report, many of the women surveyed report feeling a sense of impending doom, as if a disaster were about to occur. If you don't normally have trouble sleeping and begin to experience acute insomnia and anxiety for unexplained reasons, they recommend that you speak with your doctor. Number 8, flu-like symptoms, clammy, sweaty skin, along with feeling lightheaded, fatigued, and weak, lead some people to believe they're coming down with the flu, when in fact they're having a heart attack. Even the feeling of heaviness and pressure in the chest, typical of some people's experience in a heart attack, may be confused with having a chest cold or the flu. If you experience severe flu-like symptoms that don't quite add up to the flu, no high temperature, for example, call your doctor or advise a nurse to talk it over. Watch out also for persistent wheezing or chronic coughing that doesn't resolve itself. That can be a sign of heart disease, experts say. Patients sometimes attribute these symptoms to cold or flu, asthma, or lung disease, when what's happening is that poor circulation is causing fluid to accumulate in the lungs. Number 9 is rapid fire pulse, or heart rate. One little-known symptom that sometimes predates a heart attack is known as ventricular tachycardia, more commonly described as a rapid and irregular pulse and heart rate. During these episodes, which come on suddenly, you feel as if your heart is beating very fast and hard. You just ran up a hill, like you just ran up a hill, except you didn't. I looked down and I could see actually my heart pounding, one person recalled. It can last just a few seconds or longer. If longer, you may also notice dizziness and weakness. Some patients confuse these episodes with panic attacks. Rapid pulse and heartbeat that aren't brought on by exertion always signal an issue to bring to your doctor's attention. Number 10, you just don't feel like yourself. Heart attacks in older adults, especially those in their 80s and beyond, or in those who have dementia or multiple heart conditions, or multiple health conditions, can mimic many other conditions. But an overall theme heard from those whose loved ones suffered heart attacks is that the days leading up to and after the cardiac event, they just didn't seem like themselves. A good rule of thumb, experts say, is to watch for clusters of symptoms that come on all at once and aren't typical for your normal experience. For example, a normally alert, energetic person suddenly begins to have muddled thinking, memory loss, deep fatigue, and a sense of being out of it. The underlying cause could be something as simple as urinary tract infection, but it could also be a heart attack if your body is doing unusual things and you just don't feel right. Don't wait. See a doctor and ask for a thorough workup. And if you have any risk factors for cardiac disease, such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking, or family history of heart disease, make sure the doctor knows about these issues too. So those are 10 heart attack symptoms you're most likely to ignore. And I found this at, it was health.yahoo.net. That's /caring/10 heart attack symptoms you're most likely to ignore. If you get a chance, you might take a look at that article. It might provide you with some information that could be valid. I know I lost my mom two years ago, 2009, and I often wonder if there were any signs that I had overlooked. And, you know, it makes you continually go over and over in your head some of the things that you could have been looking out for, maybe. One of the things that I used to see in our safety program at work was skit about a person having a heart attack. And this is not to get you really afraid, just to hopefully arouse your attention to certain details that could potentially alert you ahead of time that you might be able to get some medical assistance prior to having a real catastrophic event, a medical event or health event in your life or someone else's life. Because sometimes this particular skit that we had, it was a film, it was about a guy or a family member whenever everyone was coming over for the holidays, and they were, you know, not themselves, as was stated earlier in this particular article. And people would be talking with them, and their attention, you know, they seemed to be a little bit out of it. And later on, they began to exhibit more profound and more pronounced indications that they were having some severe medical difficulty. So, you know, if not you, potentially maybe a friend or someone, you know, be a little bit more on the lookout, especially look out. If you see me and you see me exhibiting some of these symptoms, you know, I want you to be real cautious about it and make sure that you get 911 there, because I want to keep on pushing. I got to keep coming back, okay? But I'm really seriously, I'm hoping that some of the information that you hear here will provide a stimulus for you to take a look at some things, hopefully, in your life that could mitigate some more severe circumstances. Now, I want to look at some of the more current events. I've been really angry this week. Because of the fact that there have been so many people. Hey, there's a guest in the chat room, guest 3884, welcome. And if you feel like giving us a call, please feel free to do so. 347-945-7040. And you're always welcome. And because now I'm going to get into the political thing. This is what I like to do, is politics, you know. For whatever reason, I'm not an expert, don't have a lot of tremendous amounts of information, but I enjoy political banter just the same. And I've been hearing a lot about the compromise that President Obama made with the Republicans in order to extend unemployment benefits and for some of those unemployed individuals. And one of the issues that I keep hearing about are the 99ers. And when I look at, and I start doing a little bit of trying to read up on the 99ers and see, you know, what some of their issues were. Because, you know, I listen to this guy on TV, and I'm getting more and more exasperated with him the more I listen to him. This guy's name is Ed Schultz. And I used to think that this guy was on top of things. And the more I listen to him and the more I hear him attack President Obama. And, of course, let me let you know that I am an Obama supporter regardless. You want to debate me, then give me a call, 347-945-7040. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a progressive. I'm a Democrat, and I'm an Obama supporter, 100% through and through, and I don't plan to change at all. But anyway, Ed Schultz, I used to think the guy was pretty cool. Until recently, I mean, you know, the more I listen to him, the more I realize that he attacks Obama every chance he has. And I look at this guy behind the mic, and he has an opportunity at any point in time to lay that mic down and get in a campaign and run for office. But instead, he makes his big money, and he you know, and I'm wondering if his sponsors really support him, because if they do, then they support hindering President Obama's progress. And if you think he hasn't made progress, I have some contention with you, because I think that he has, considering some of the issues that he's gone through over the last 2 years. And I admire the guy. I really appreciate him and respect him and hold him in high esteem. Now, what I wanted to talk about a little bit is the 99ers. I don't know if you've heard anything about them, but if you haven't, hopefully I can provide you with some insight. And hopefully you'll be more well-informed than I was when I first started hearing about them. Now, the 99ers unemployment extension tier proposed by Congressional Black Caucus. You ever heard of them? And this is on Associated Content. And this says the world's largest source of community-created content from Yahoo, of all places. But the 99ers unemployment extension tier proposed by Congressional Black Caucus. Momentum for a tier 5 category for benefits for the jobless seems to be building in Washington. And this is Dateline December the 13th, 2010. Contribute to the content of Yahoo Contributor Network. And but anyway, it says that little bit of life that Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, and I'm one of these days I wish I could ever get on the show. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, I admire that lady, seemed to breathe into the 99er movement Thursday, was amplified Friday when the entire Congressional Black Caucus put their political muscle behind creating a new tier, a Tier 5 unemployment benefit categorization for those that have seen their regular and extended jobless benefits exhausted. The Congressional Black Caucus noticed that for the unpopular among Democrats and some many Republicans, Obama compromised measure to get the approval of their members. A Tier 5 for 99ers would have to consider Tier 5 for 99ers would have to consider and add it to the legislation. Representative Bobby Scott, speaking for the Congressional Black Caucus at Friday's press conference, stated, "We support the 13-month extension of unemployment insurance benefits, but we all agree that we also ought to extend the benefits for the so-called 99ers, those who are exhausting their benefits that they have." Scott admitted that there were a wide range of options within the caucus, of opinions within the caucus as to what should be done with regard to the Obama tax cut slash unemployment extension compromise, and that an overwhelming portion of his colleagues were against passage of the measure as it currently stands. The Virginia congressman said that the Bush tax cut for the wealthy were a non-starter, especially that particularly offensive estate tax. He went on to illustrate that the estate tax, which taxes inheritances, would cost the federal government $60 billion in lost revenues and had overwhelming Republican support, while a $57 billion extension for millions of the nation's unemployed workers has been consistently blocked by, guess who, the Republicans. Scott outlined three areas that the Congressional Black Caucus could unite behind: the aforementioned unemployment benefit extensions, including the creation of a Tier 5 for the 99ers, the Social Security payroll reduction that is outlined in the compromise measure, and an extension of the Bush-era tax cuts to middle and lower-income earners. You know, this is one reason why I so disagree with this dude Ed Schultz. You know, the enemy of the unemployed is not President Obama. It's the Republicans. And I never hear this guy talk about, you know, why don't you call your congressman and tell them that in no uncertain terms will you allow them to vote against the unemployed, nor will you allow them to include tax extensions for the wealthy. Now, I don't hear him doing that. I hear him attacking continually President Obama. So I used to be with this guy, but the more I listen to him, the less I find him attractive or his opinions. Representative Bobby Scott also jokingly pointed out that if tax cuts are granted, they will eventually have to be paid for. He said, "You can't give everybody a tax cut like it's Oprah Winfrey or Santa Claus." Delegate Donna Christensen, a Democrat of the Virgin Islands, said that extending the Bush tax cuts for 2 years only played into the Republican Party's future gotcha political plans. She predicted that that come time for funding for social programs, Republicans will balk and say that there are no available funds. And when the 2012 election cycle arrived, she predicted that the Republicans would use the expiring of the Bush tax cuts again to blame Democrats for raising taxes. Representative Donald Payne, Democrat from New Jersey, argued against extending Bush tax cuts for the nation's wealthiest, stating, "We've had 10 years of Bush tax cuts. We have the highest unemployment that we've had, sustainable, in our nation's history, continuing, including the Great Depression. If the tax cuts create employment and jobs, and we've had 10 years of it, how then do we say we have to extend them? Because if it's about stimulating jobs, it's failed in this past decade." The Congressional Black Caucus seemed to have made a couple of key points: that the Bush tax cuts will be costly in more ways than adding to the overall national debt, and they have failed to do what they were supposedly created for, the stimulation of the economy through reinvestment and creation of jobs. It also it should also be noted that the African American community, the predominant ethnicity in the constituencies of members of the Congressional Black Caucus, has been especially hard hit by the Great Recession and the continuing high level of unemployment. The Bureau of Labor Statistics of the Department of Labor reported at the beginning of December that the current national unemployment rate for the month of November was 9.8%. However, the unemployment rate for blacks, I would say black American citizens, who was significantly higher at 16%, and little change from the previous month's rate, with the Federal Reserve's gloomy economic forecast for the next 2 years predicting an unemployment rate that will not fall below 9% in 2011 and 8% in 2012. It appears that the rate will see little change in the foreseeable future as well. So, you know, the extension of the tax cuts is for the wealthy, supposedly, so that they can. I'm not sure if it's supposed to provide the wealthy with the incentive to create jobs, or provide the wealthy with the financial resources to create jobs, or provide the wealthy, this is me talking, with the financial incentives and motivation, philanthropic motivation to create, get off the sideline and begin to create jobs. But at any rate, the wealthy up to this point, with their extended tax cuts, haven't found a way to create jobs for the Americans with the extension of their tax cuts. So, you know, the concept is extend the tax cuts for the wealthy, and obviously if they haven't created jobs in the past, how do you ever expect that they'll create jobs in the future? It's just not reasonable. And but anyway, it stands to reason that, this is back to the article, it stands to reason that if the number of unemployed among the black working population is significantly higher, then the number of the 99ers that are African Americans would be significantly higher also. OpenCongress.com noted in their report on the press conference that there are estimates placing the number of 99ers at approximately 5 million individuals. The actual number is unknown because the Department of Labor does not track a long-term unemployed after they fall off the benefits extension rolls, save through surveys. And CBS News or 60 Minutes provided a low estimate in November that the number exceeded at least 1.5 million. So that's 1.5 million who they call 99ers, I believe, because they have 99 days of unemployment benefits, and after those 99 days are exhausted, their unemployment benefits are exhausted as well. And, you know, if you remember a lot of Republicans that I heard talk about the unemployed and the unemployment benefits suggested that that would make people lazy if they continued to get unemployment benefits. Well, now, if you think that $300 a month will make a person lazy and not work, well, do you think that providing them with several hundred thousand dollars worth of tax incentives would make them more energetic to create jobs? You know, if extending $300 a month will make a person who's on the lower rung of the economic scale lazy, then it would seem to me that the same logic would apply if you provide people on the upper rung of the economic ladder more an extension of their benefits. That would make them lazy also, unless they're a special kind of people, you know, a special kind of human being, a lot different than those people who are less fortunate. Republicans seem to think they are. I don't. Continuing on with the article, the current compromise legislation addressing the Bush tax cuts and the unemployment benefits extensions, none of which is offset or paid for, is estimated to cost American taxpayers around $900 billion, over half of it from tax cuts alone. Part of the measure includes a provision for the reauthorization of unemployment extensions for 13 months. The last reauthorization expired at the end of November. Without reauthorization, the number of 99ers is expected to climb another 2 million by New Year's Day and another 2 million by February. Whether or not reauthorization is granted, it is estimated that another 4 million 99ers will be created throughout 2011 anyway, victims of the sluggish economy and lack of jobs. The Congressional Black Caucus called for 99er unemployment extension points the Congressional Black Caucus's call for 99er unemployment extension points to growing support for a Tier 5 among the unemployment benefits categorizations. At present, there is no active bill in Congress that addresses the 99ers' problems of extended long-term joblessness. Now, I hope that you followed that, and I hope that there was some information that was worth your attention. Because what this boils down to, and all we try to do is the corporate media gives you about a couple minutes per guest or a couple of guests, maybe a minute or two per guest, and they address some of the most complicated problems to these guests in a couple minutes based on their perspectives, the commentators' perspectives. They ask a guest a question from their political or social leaning, and most of those people, I think the commentators, probably make over $500,000 a year. And I would assume that the corporate echelon would not necessarily even have a strong inclination to be concerned about the unemployed, the 99ers or any others of the unemployed. And like I say, 99ers, as I understand it, I've heard the term used, and I had to do some research to find out what it was about. And it's those people who have, I think, 90 days worth of unemployment and to find a job. And if I'm not mistaken, my research has led me to find or come to the realization that there are not any jobs out here. I mean, there are five people for every one job, as I understand it. Now, I could be incorrect, but I believe I'm reasonably correct, and I hope that I can find some information in future weeks to verify my position on that particular issue. But I want to say kudos to the Black Caucus. And you won't hear much about them in the corporate media. Kudos to the Black Caucus for standing up for the 99ers. Kudos to the Black Caucus for standing up for unemployment extension for the unemployed. And also kudos for the Democrats for fighting the fight. And kudos to the president for getting all he can get from the Republicans, because the Republicans refused to allow President Obama to have any type of support from them, and it's all about politics. They want to be reelected. They want to get him ousted in 2012, and as do a lot of the quote unquote liberals like Ed Schultz, who I used to believe in. As a matter of fact, I donated to this guy when he was talking about the trip to Washington, and I've been so disappointed with this guy. I've really curtail my listening to his program, and I definitely wouldn't support his sponsors either. I think that he's doing a tremendous disservice by continuing to berate and denigrate the President of the United States to say that he doesn't have a backbone and so forth. Well, I would suggest that Mr. Schultz, if he thinks he has more of a backbone than President Obama, then he should put his microphone down and enter a political race. He should stop cutting his commercials and do something for the people and stop doing things for Mr. Schultz himself. That's just my opinion. And I'm entitled to it, right? Anyway, let me do this. We'll be right back with more information. I was hoping I'd get a call, too. I had a friend of mine I'd invited him to give a call, but I don't think he's made it through yet. Anyway, if you want to give me a call, please do, 347-945-7040, and we'll be right back right after this with more.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. But not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and a one man stove. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know. Thank you.
347-945-7040. That's the next phase with Ice and Friends. You're welcome to be a part of the show right here every Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Usually I'm here, except for the last several weeks we've been having some scheduling difficulties due to my job, my real job. And but hopefully throughout, if we live by God's grace to see it to 2011, then hopefully we'll have some more new guests, some more guests, as well as some other topics of interest, and as well as being able to offer you to give us a call right here, 347-945-7040. You're always welcome to come through with your opinions and your ideas, your concepts, beliefs, and perspectives are always welcome right here. Whether you agree with me or whether you don't, we appreciate hearing your input. One of the other things that I saw that was very interesting, and you know Michael Jackson and that tune, The Man in the Mirror, that's one of the things that I'm talking about, is that it's going to take the voting majority, the dominant voting culture in the United States of America to make a change. And if you see that the Republicans aren't supporting unemployment extension for the 99ers, if you see that the Republicans aren't supporting unemployment extensions for everyone, if you see that the Republicans are wanting to give tax cuts for the wealthy, if you see that the Republicans aren't supporting DADT, see, because what happened in the last election, the midterm election, was that all the liberals and all the progressives said, well, we're just going to sit out. So when you sat out, what you got was a larger majority of Republicans. And so what that did, or a majority of Republicans in the House, so that gave you more obstruction and less opportunity to have your positions represented in Congress. So I appeal to those of you who attempt to use logic and rational thinking that if the Republicans don't support your issues, and everybody speaks, you know, well, you know, the Republicans, we're going to have problems with them. They're not going to get in the next. They're not going to do that. Hey, vote them out. They're not permanent. Vote them out. Give them a call and tell them, listen, this is where I stand on the issues, and if you don't represent me, you're out the door. Then people say, well, the Democrats are not just as bad. So don't even go there with me, all right? So if you like the Republicans, then be a Republican. You know, don't tell me I'm independent, I'm a progressive, I'm a liberal. No, you're a Republican is what you are. And you're trying to use that subterfuge to influence other people to support your position. And I've seen you. I've peeped your whole card. I know what's going on with you. So don't try to play that game with me. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but when it comes to Black Ice on Ice with Friends, Ice and Friends, right here on Block Talk Radio, you don't fool me at all. I know where you're coming from. Anyway, and if you want to debate it, give me a call, 347-945-7040. You know you're far more intelligent than I am. So feel free, feel welcome, feel encouraged to give us a call right here anytime. I was looking at another topic, another article called Black Segregation in U.S. Drops to Lowest in the Century. Now, I want to tell you about another article that I read, I was looking at. This is interesting, right? And also, there's a lady, Shasta Avery Hart, becomes the first African-American woman to pass the LPGA Q school. Yeah, these are landmark accomplishments for people of African descent. And one of the reasons that you may find us or find me to be elated and really enthusiastic and energetic about some of the accomplishments is that in spite of all the things that have impediments and the obstacles that have been placed in the way, we still continue to accomplish things. You know, here's the thing that I have by Dr. Boyce Watkins about Cam Newton, and kudos to Cam Newton for winning the Heisman Trophy and best of luck in the upcoming event that he'll be involved in with the, I believe, Oregon. I can't remember which one of the Oregon individuals. I was trying to find the article here, and hopefully I will find it. hopefully I will find it here in a second. Yeah, here it is. I want to put this article up here for you. I'm looking at, I wanted to get it in conjunction with another one that I already have, the one about the black segregation thing. It says black segregation in the U.S. drops to the lowest in the century. Can you imagine? Do I hear a great applause? Do I hear some, wonderful, you know, black segregation? And this is in the Griot. This is 12/14/1005 dateline. Black segregation in U.S. drops to lowest in century. Let's see what they're talking about here. Washington AP. America's neighborhoods become more integrated last year than during any time in at least a century, as a rising black middle class moved into fast-growing white areas in the South and West. Still, ethnic segregation in many parts of the U.S. persisted, particularly for Hispanics. Segregation among blacks and whites fell in roughly three-quarters of the nation's 100 largest metropolitan areas, as the two racial groups spread more evenly between inner cities and suburbs, according to the recent census data. Number one, black is not a dang race, nor is white. I don't understand how people make that transition between racial and black, racial and white. There is only one race, and that's the human race. Black and white are colors. They're adjectives, not races. But people, you know, and to me, again, if you start with a faulty premise, then God darn it, you're going to end with a faulty conclusion. You got to get your premise right to come up to me with a rational, logical, and reasonable conclusion. Race is not about color. Color is one thing, and race is something totally different. See, people have a freaking fetish with color. Oh, black, that's a color. It's not a freaking race, okay? You know, can we get that straight? Will you at least give me that? I hope you will. Because unless you can prove to me that race is a goddamn color, then I will forever feel that you are unsubstantial in the positions that you formulate. The findings are expected to be reinforced with fresh census data being released Tuesday on race, migration, and economics. The new information is among the Census Bureau's most detailed releases yet for neighborhoods. Quote, it's taken a civil rights movement in several generations to yield noticeable segregation decline for blacks, unquote, said William H. Frey, a demographer at the Brookings Institute who reviewed the census data. But the still high levels of black segregation in some areas, coupled with uneven clustering patterns for Hispanics, suggest that the idea of post-racial America has a way to go, unquote. The race trends also hint at the upcoming political and legal wranglings over 2010 census figures to be published in the spring. The data will be used to reallocate congressional districts, drawing new. Now, this is what, you know, people are, oh, I didn't vote. Ah, man, I can't vote. I wouldn't vote. Well, I'm going to tell you, now, here's where you, this read, listen to this right quick, okay? The race trends, which it's not race, it's freaking color. This is, these are doctors. These are PhDs. I barely have a high school education. These guys are PhDs talking about the race trends and then speaking in terms of color. The race trends also hinted upcoming political and legal wranglings over 2010 census figures to be published in the spring. The data will be used to reallocate congressional districts, drawing new political boundaries. New Hispanic-dominated districts could emerge, particularly for elected positions at the state and local level. States are required under the Voting Rights Act. That's another thing. Voting Rights Act to respect the interests of minority voting blocs, which tend to support Democratic candidates. Milwaukee, Detroit, and Syracuse, New York were among the most segregated. What? Milwaukee, Detroit, and Syracuse, New York were among the most segregated. All part of areas in the Northeast and Midwest known by some demographers as the Ghetto Belt. If y'all live up there in Milwaukee, Detroit, and Syracuse, New York, I didn't know if y'all knew it or not, but I'm going to tell you tonight, you're located by, you know, known by some demographers. It doesn't say how many, just some. And some is enough. So y'all are in the Ghetto Belt. Ghetto Belt, Ghetto Belt. On the other end of the scale, cities that were least likely to be segregated included Fort Myers, Florida, Honolulu, Atlanta, and Miami. Okay, Hispanic integration was mixed. Integration was mixed. Isn't that good? There was less Hispanic white segregation in cities and suburbs and many large metros such as Buffalo, Washington, D.C., and Chicago, according to the preliminary census figures. But in many smaller neighborhoods, large numbers of more recently arrived Hispanic immigrants are believed to be clustering together for social support experts. Well, can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Listen, in many smaller neighborhoods, large numbers of more recently arrived Hispanic immigrants are believed to be clustering together for social support. Hispanic immigrants clustering. Anglo immigrants don't cluster. The findings on segregation are partly based on a demographic index that tracks the degree for which ethnic groups, cultural groups, not racial groups. Where do these PhDs? Anyway, groups are evenly spread between city and suburb. The index ranges from 0 to 100 and 60 or above, generally considered highly segregated. The index found that for a large U.S. metro, in 2009, the black-white segregation reading was 27, down from 33 in 2000, the lowest in generations. Oh, my God. It's down to 27 from 33. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Other findings. Overall, Asians show to be less residential segregation from whites compared with blacks and Hispanics, but results varied widely by geography. Asians were most segregated in large metros such as Greensboro, North Carolina, and Stockton, California. They were most integrated in Phoenix and Washington, D.C. and Las Vegas, due partly to the movement of more affluent Asians to suburbs. You Asians, y'all are moving to the suburbs. New Orleans was among metros with the largest decline in city-suburb segregation among black and white since 2000, due largely to the exodus of low-income blacks from the city after Hurricane Katrina. Wonder why did they have to exit the exodus? New Orleans was among metros with the largest decline in city-suburb segregation. Now, that's just a great figure. The largest decline in city-suburb segregation due to the exodus of low-income blacks, you mean black American citizens, from the city after Hurricane Katrina. Other large metros showing less segregation included those with technologically based economies. Oh, well, of course, I know we wouldn't be there where the technologically based economies. Let me see what it says about that. Such as Boston, Seattle, Houston, Austin, Texas, and San Francisco, which attracted middle and upper income blacks to suburbs, black American citizens to their suburbs. Still, the recent gains in color integration are somewhat limited, said John Logan, I'm sure a sociologist at Brown University who studied residential segregation. He studied this residential segregation stuff. He noted that black-white segregation remained generally high in areas in the Northeast and Midwest In those areas, there's a slow population growth, and white flight from increasingly minority neighborhoods is still common. White flight. Keep flying, white people. As for Hispanics and Asians, while residential movements out of ethnic neighborhoods has been increasing, those numbers have generally been surpassed by the arrival of new immigrants into traditional enclave. What is traditional enclaves? Anyway, the political implications of these trends are great in the long run. Majority black American districts will become harder to sustain, while more majority Hispanic districts will emerge. Now, see, here we go. Here's Hispanic. Then we got black. Now, Hispanic is an ethnicity. Black is a color. I don't understand. I'm sure there's an explanation for it, especially for state and local positions, Logan said. The figures come from previous censuses and 2009 American Community Survey, which samples 3 million households. Did you get sample? Is that like getting groped at the airport? Did you get sample? Due to incomplete 2009 data, the analysts of racial, this is not racial, segregation omits 7 metro areas, Sarasota, Florida, Greenville, South Carolina, that's where the Klan shot and killed a bunch of people and got away with it back in the 80s, 70s. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Jackson, Mississippi, McAllen, Texas, Portland, Maine, and Poughkeepsie, New York. This is copyrighted 2010 by Associated Press. My comment, black segregation. You know, what the heck is that all about? Why was there ever any segregation to begin with? Segregation, that means forceful separation of citizens. That means that somebody had their, with certain inalienable rights. How can you segregate a citizen in the United States of America? How, you tell me how, with your well-educated brain, that you can segregate, tell a citizen of the United States where to live, you know, and how to live. This is just plain nuts. Black segregation in the U.S. drops segregation. Where did it come from? What is it all about? I don't understand. It makes no sense to me, but then who am I? Hello, guest 4977. Welcome to the room. Guest 3884, welcome to the room. Now, I wanted to talk about, let's see, whoa, you mean that got away from me just that quick. But I can find it. Let me find it right quick. You know, can you imagine, isn't that crazy? That they're talking about. These guys have a job doing census and what they call demographers. Black segregation in the U.S. drops the lowest. Why is there any segregation, period, in the U.S.? You know, why? You tell me. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make a daggum bit of sense to me, not in the least bit. You know, grown people do grown cotton picking things. And there are people who, for whatever reason, have this idea that they should be able to determine all men are created equal with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of their own freaking happiness. Leave people alone. Your opinion does not matter to grown people. Take your opinion and anyway. Now, here's another interesting article that Ken Cuccinelli, you ever heard of him? Cuccinelli? Virginia has outgrown institutionalized racism. What? Racism is human racism. That's the only racism that there freaking is human racism. Race is a human thing. It's not a color cotton-picking thing. And where are these people coming? Let me tell you who this guy is. This is the Attorney General of Virginia, Ray Cuccinelli, right? Suggested this week that his state no longer needed the Department of Justice oversight in its redistricting process, a measure that was mandated in the 1965 Voting Rights Act in order to ensure that there were no discriminatory changes made to voting laws. According to Cuccinelli, Virginia had outgrown the prejudicial symptoms that had led Congress to approve the rule requiring pre-clearance of any changes to the districts within some states, most of which are southern. You know what? If you have outgrown it, then it won't make a difference to you anyway. Why concern yourself with it? You'll never have a problem. So why not move on to some issues of, stopping drugs, Mr. Attorney General, or why not move on to fighting crime, Mr. Attorney General, but you choose, for whatever reason, to be selective enough to pick the Voting Rights Act to attack it. Mr. Cuccinelli, what is on your cotton-picking mind, sir? Cuccinelli, however, said Virginia has outgrown that requirement as the state which he acknowledged originated massive resistance. Massive resistance to what? Is no longer marked by institutionalized bigotry. Well, if it's not marked by institutionalized bigotry, why worry about it? The law's not going to hurt you. Why get involved in it? Why not fight crime, Mr. Cuccinelli, Mr. Attorney General, sir? I think as a state, as a commonwealth, we have outgrown that, he said. We've outgrown it. We're grown adults now. We've grown as a commonwealth a great deal in my lifetime, a great deal. Think Progress sees Cuccinelli's comments as indicative of the larger trend among conservatives. Whoa, conservatives, Republicans. Tea Party people, who are putting the voting rights of minorities in the crosshairs. Oh, they're going to use voting rights to build their political careers on. So they're going to attack, quote-unquote, minorities in the crosshairs due to a growing desire to minimize the federal government's involvement in state affairs. Well, Mr. Cuccinelli, if you are discriminating against citizens of the United States and you're the Attorney General, then it's no longer a state affair, sir. It's an affair of denying people's civil freaking rights. Anyway, they are part of an orchestrated conservative effort to undermine the Voting Rights Act and remove federal protection for minority voters. Do you understand why your vote is so important, minorities? Last year, conservatives took aim at Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, not aim at criminals, not aim at drug dealers, not aim at finding jobs. They took aim at some real serious, important, and significant stuff, minorities. Conservatives took aim at Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act in the Supreme Court case, Nomudno versus Holder. The court upheld the legislation. In an 8-1 vote, conservative Justice Thomas, who? Uncle Thomas? Was the lone dissent. But as the Wonk Room's Ian Millhiser notes, the Roberts-led court may be threatening to invalidate the statute if Congress doesn't alter the Voting Rights Act soon. So they're going to threaten Congress. I tell you what, you let another Republican become president of your United States, and you may very well end up back on a plantation somewhere. Anyway, furthermore, Cuccinelli's suggestion is that his commonwealth has simply outgrown institutionalized racism. If it's outgrown it, Mr. Cuccinelli, why do you focus so much attention on it? If it's outgrown it, then you'd be fighting crime instead of fighting minorities. Oh, my goodness. Institutionalized racism come amid a year in which Virginia has garnered significant attention for issues concerning racial, which is not racial because it's human race, so it's color, racial sensitivity. In April, the state came under fire when its governor, Bob McDonnell, a Republican just so happens to be, decided to reinstate, Confederate History Month. I wonder if he related to... Christine, no, McDonald. Is it Christine? O'Donnell. Okay, different Donald. Confederate History Month. McDonald was later blasted for failing to make any reference to slavery. So we want to talk about Confederate history and leave out slavery. What the heck was the Confederacy all about? Rather, referring to the period as a time when soldiers fought for their homes and communities and Commonwealth in a time very different than ours today. This is the governor of the state. Now, it's just so much stuff that you could talk about. It's so much interesting stuff. Confederate History Month. The Confederates fired on the Union flag. They seceded from the United States of America. The Confederates were traitors. The Confederates were treasonous, and they should have had the law fully enforced to the fullest extent on them. Their land should have been taken, and then they should have been prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And they, you know, I understand people having pride in your family, but in this particular case, I do not understand you at all. You know, Confederacy, that's like putting up a swastika as a flag or putting up the Japanese flag. You know, that would be like supporting the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor. Nothing against the Japanese people, because they didn't have anything to do with what their government decided to do. But I'm just saying, how in the heck can you sit up and talk about a Confederacy that fired on the Union flag, and now you're under the Union flag, seeking protection, seeking all kinds of benefits from the Union, talking about the president of the Union, and you want to brag about the Confederacy? Please. Give me a break. And earlier this year, Virginia Senator Jim Webb, Democrat, called for an end to government directed diversity programs. Jim Webb? In part because he said circumstances of racial discrimination were no longer present among many minority groups. Racial discrimination has not ever been present. It's been color discrimination. You know, racial is human. Virginia Democratic Party Chairman Brian Moran later responded to Cuccinelli's suggestion. Ken Cuccinelli's claim that Virginia no longer has any need for oversight of our redistricting process is not only ignorant, it's downright dangerous, Moran said in his statement. According to the Daily Progress, too many Virginians fought far too long for equal representation for our Attorney General to put his near pathological aversion to government ahead of their civil rights by removing the safeguards that ensure the integrity of our political system. Man, kudos to you, Mr. Brian Moran. Kudos to you. And Jim Webb, you need to take a hike. But anyway, these are some of the things that I just found interesting this week. And you know, I'm not sure that you did, but I really appreciate it. Hey, Platinum, how you doing? Welcome to the room. And I was waiting on you to give me a call, Platinum. I was in her room last night, and we had a good time, Tiger Track and Platinum and Black Kiss and DC Lady and who all else? Gotta be me. And hey, all us, you know, we get together and chit-chat and whatnot, what's never and so forth and so on. Hey, Platinum, how you doing? Good to see you. And you know you're welcome to give a call anytime, as are any of you welcome to give a call, 347-945-7040. And that's Ice and Friends right here. The next phase. You know, the first phase was the first phase, and we're in the next phase. And when it gets to the next phase, we'll be going to the next phase. We just want to keep it moving. But we want to wish you all, in case we don't see you before, get a chance to visit with you before the upcoming wonderful holiday season. Hey, Platinum, much love to you, sweet lady. Glad to see you. Want to wish you all the very, very best of the holiday season. And I pray again that you and your family will be granted safety, number one. Be careful with the electricity. Be careful with the carbon monoxide. Be careful with the potential fires And watch out for the kids. Don't let them get in the cabinets. Don't let them be around sharp objects. And make sure that you take care of that you don't get salmonella and all that kind of stuff. And watch out and take care of each other. We want to wish you a safe, joyous, and a blessed holiday season. And I really want to appreciate you for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. You're welcome to do so at any point in time. Always welcome to give us a call through. And I'm hoping that my sis Platinum will jump up in here with us one of these days and we can get something going on. But anyway, I want you to write this number down if you get a chance. And next time you hear us on, hopefully, I don't know if I'll be here next week or not. I'm hoping so. But if not, we'll see you, let's see, next week. Then we'll be after the first of the year. Wow. So maybe you have to wait until 2011 and see what's happening then. But anyway, the number to call us at any time is 347-945-7040. Or you can drop us a line at blakicz.1@gmail.com. If you have a topic you want to have discussed or you want to let me know that where we can schedule you to be on, we greatly appreciate having you on. If you have something that you want to talk about, we'll be looking forward to hearing you. But again, we want to wish you all the best. And remember that the only one that can do anything about what's going on with us these days is going to be that person that you look at when you look in the mirror. So peace, respect, high regard to you all until we meet again. Oh, wait, 972, hold on. Hey, 972, you here?
Yes, this is Platt.
Hey, Platt, see, you waited. I'm down to 3 minutes. Give me what you got.
I'm just going to make it really fast. I just wanted to call in and wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Happy holidays if you celebrate. If not, best wishes to everyone. I just wanted to try to get in before you got off the air, and I'm going to do my best to try to jump in one day and we can just hang out for the entire time and just talk about whatever pops in our minds.
Exactly. And you know you're welcome. All right? You know that. So, and I'll be seeing you after I get out of here too. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. You take good care.
All right. You
to
too.
You, lovely lady. And thank you so much for giving us a call.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Toodles. Hey, thank you all for tuning in and listening, and blessings to you, and be careful, be safe, and you know, give everybody a hug. I got to give my grands a hug. I got to give my kids. I got to holler to everybody. And I'm giving a shout out my sis Platinum, lovely lady around the metro, and hey, all the people that I hang out with, thank you. I got 60 seconds to do this thing. I'm going to hit this note, and then I'm going to get going. Y'all take care. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. 347-945-7040, and you're always welcome to give us a call.
I'm going to make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough.